If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who's been on the show before, but it was in a very different context, and it was a number of years ago. And I think that the cool thing about this one is, I guess, to give some background as to how this particular interview happened. I get a lot of CDs and records and tapes from bands, from labels, from publicists, from all kinds of stuff, just over the course of doing this podcast, interviewing a lot of musicians. People like giving me their records. A lot of the time I get good stuff. A lot of the time I get okay stuff. But the record I got recently was the new album by my guest on this episode. And it's rare that I get a record that I like this much kind of immediately upon listening to it. Like, it really, I don't know what it is exactly about it, and we'll talk about it, but something grabbed me about this record. I really dug it, and it's already, like, it's on my list of favorite local albums of the year, for sure. Like, it was an instant hit there for me. So I think the best way to start this off is, if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what you do, and then we can sort of get into what this is all about. Maybe I can figure out what it is about this record that really grabbed me the way it did. And yeah, we'll go from there.
Sure. Hey, I'm Michael Falk. I have an alias called Touching, under which I release music. And I've been, I've done a lot of things in music in Winnipeg and beyond. And, ran a label for a number of years in the studio, and used to produce Jazz Winnipeg and booked the West End Cultural Center a long time ago. Feels like another lifetime ago at this point. Right now I'm producing concerts for the symphony and making music in my basement. So it's a good time.
Awesome. Well, I think that you're one of the people in the city who's had your hands in so many different aspects of the local music community. I mean, like, even just what you described there, that quick resume, it's covering off a lot of bases in a lot of different sort of styles and genres and scenes. And sort of beyond. So, I guess you're sort of a rare person in Winnipeg who's been involved in so many different aspects of it. Because a lot of people, have been involved in local music for decades even, but it's often sort of within one little circle, within one style of music, one area of creating, marketing, publishing, whatever, music. But you've been all over the place.
I'm a jack of all trades and master of none at this point. So,
Well, as far as the music side of things goes, the music you're making, I mean, I think people know you from a lot of different projects over the years. Les Jupes is probably the most widely known in Winnipeg. I think, anyway, that's definitely why I first heard your stuff. But with Touching, how long has this actually been the project you've been working on? I know you have two other records that came out before this one we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, Touching started, I guess, back in 2016. We played a few shows and, started writing the new batch of songs, but then became a dad and joined Jazz Winnipeg, and things just kind of stalled out, I guess. And then I, had to do some other stuff for a while, but I kept writing, so I think for a long time it was just, me and my friend Alistair just hang out in the studio, and kind of we'd book these like intensive weekends where we just block off 4 or 5 days and just kind of blast off a bunch of stuff. And so from 2016 to when we put out that first Touching record during the pandemic, we made maybe 150, 175 songs or something. And, some of them were crap and a few of them were all right. And, that's how it goes. But it was, I just you know, felt for a long, you know, during that process, I just wanted to become a better writer. And I wanted to, you know, try to, you know, see if I could, you know, I think there was something that, you know, if we go kind of go back to the end of Les Jupes, like the first kind of maybe touching, couple touching records are me artistically trying to finish that path a little bit.
Okay. Right?
I think the songs, you know, at least to myself, this is my take on them, you know, other people might feel differently, but, you know, it felt like those first two touching records are just like the natural end to the songwriting path, you know, started with Les Jupes and then didn't get to finish. And so those records, it kind of feel like it was like the end of that journey. So for this record, you know, it, I was a little bored, you know, that's maybe that's part of it. I was bored of that path, or maybe like I was, you know, I wanted to do something else. And I,
yeah,
and a whole bunch of new music, you know, has been inspiring and interesting to me. And a bunch of it came out of my time at Jazz Winnipeg. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I booked and that I presented there, and musicians I got to know and shows I got to see both here and in New York. And,
yeah.
You know, all over the place. And that really kind of, you know, just made me think, it's like, oh, like there's, you know, you can, I can find a, what's the word? You know, I guess I just wanted to take some of those new interests and just see what happened if you funneled them through my brain and through the way I work. And you know, I'm not, you know, I've never claimed to be a jazz musician. I'm definitely not a jazz musician. But I think that there was, you know, there's something in a bunch of that music that, you know, especially some of the, you know, the weirder modern stuff that is happening right now, where I was just like, well, there's some really cool adventurous stuff here. And I wonder, you know, I can, you know, what can I nick off of this and make it my own in some way?
Yeah.
So the record definitely had its roots in me just trying to see like, what would happen if I wrote jazz music with MIDI, you know? So I was like,
sure, sure.
Programming bass lines and little keyboard riffs and some drum parts just all on MIDI and basically drawing these grooves. And then, you know, that led to, you know, trying to bring them into the real world with people and then take it on a life of their own. So.
Thank you.
I think that's interesting. The way you said, like, you know, the first two records kind of being an extension of what you were doing with Les Jupes, I think that makes sense as a listener, because, I mean, you know, I heard the first two Touching records. They were good records, but it didn't necessarily grab me the way this one did. And I think it's the same thing with Les Jupes. I like those records, but they didn't really kind of... Something about them wasn't what I was looking for as far as music. Yep. For what they were and for the genre they were in and for, like, you know, the scene that you were coming out of, they definitely were successful and effective and everything like that. But this one, I think, that jazz side of things and experimenting with those kind of weirder sounds and more sort of experimental vibes, I think really it feels like what was... I don't want to sound like an asshole and say something was missing from the previous Touching records, but what I wasn't getting, I think, from the Touching records is now on this one. And my friend Chris Friesen, the freaking snap, has been like evangelizing your records for years now. And I remember when he was talking about the previous Touching record nonstop, I was like, okay, I need to listen to this again. And I did, and it was good, but I wasn't getting what he was getting. And I think that adding the jazz elements, adding some of these players you have like a murderer's row of local and beyond musicians on this album. Something in that kind of alchemy there really, I think this is what Touching was always, I mean, as a listener, should be. You know what I mean? Like, it's like everything that worked on those previous records has now melded with this jazz thing and this experimental thing, and I really dig it.
Well, thanks so much. It's the record I'm the most proud of sharing with people. You know, I think that there's, as I've been making it the whole way along, I was like, man, this is weird as fuck. Is anybody gonna like this? You know, but it, you know, I all along I was like, I want to make a record just for me. I'm not going to worry about anything else. And, you know, I'm at this point in my life where, you know, I'm not, you know, 25 years old anymore and running around playing clubs. And like, my life is a little different. And my artistic priorities are a little different. And I just wanted to kind of just throw everything up in the air and do everything, you know, a 180 from how I'd done it in the past. And just kind of lean into some of the stuff that, you know, I might have kind of kept at bay before, you know, and just like embrace some of the weird shit that I've always liked. And, you know, and as a concert presenter, I've tried to support a lot of, you know, artists on the fringe and bring some shows to Winnipeg over the years that, you know, might not have happened otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think that, but in my own music, you know, I think what you're hearing is fair. And it's a fair assessment that, like, it's like, yeah, there's good songs, but like, it's not, you know, it's not pushing over the edge of what, you know, and that's, but it was like, what's the word? I think I got to a point where, you know, with this one, I was just like, this, it's been so much fun to make this because it's been really hard. You know, I had to teach myself a bunch of new things, and I had to work differently than I ever did. And it took almost a year to finally get comfortable singing over the music, you know, some of the, you know, singing over some of these songs and the chord changes and the melodies that were needed were just so different from the way I'd ever worked. And so, that took a long time. And like, there was a good 6 month period where I was just like bashing my head against the wall and which is good, you know, a little bit of struggle is important. Right. But there's, there's a hard drive just full of take after take after take of just like some nonsense, just trying to like find a path through for the music for me as a singer. And I think I got there, you know, and I think I had a couple of friends really help. You know, Andrew Braun used to be in a band called Roka Code.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, him and his partner Laura really helped kind of give a kind of a second push to some of that stuff. I wrote a song with this woman named Olive Louise, who's a singer in New York. And, you know, she helped push that song into a direction that I would never have been able to get to on my own. And so... Yeah, I think by engaging a different group of collaborators and, you know, and bringing in a couple of my, you know, my jazz pals and Sean and Curtis and then also like, you know, Dave Quabry and Alistair Dunlap, who I've been working with for a long time, old friends of mine, but they, you know, they've always had these chops, but, you know, within my music up until now, they hadn't really gotten to like let her rip a bit more. And so I think it also freed them up to, you know, showcase what they do a little bit more, kind of, you know, because both of them can hang in that regard. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the singing part is interesting because I think that is part of what I like about this is I think this is, you have a unique voice, a unique singing voice. And yep. I mean, it's definitely, you hear it and it's you. I don't know. I can't think of anyone else who has that particular sound. And I think it seems like it makes sense naturally being suited to jazzier stuff, just kind of like the tone of it. Had you ever attempted anything like that before with dabbling with that vocally?
No, definitely not. Because I mean, I'm not a trained musician, and you know, I think, you know, there's been times when I'm just kind of like goofing around, you know, I'd be in the tour van or I'd be at home or whatever it was. And like, you know, there's this kind of voice in the back of my head. It's like, someday, Mike, you're going to make a crooner record. And,
well, this is it, I guess.
I love Sinatra, you know, all that, you know, and a lot of that stuff, but I don't come to the table with the musical skill set to be able to kind of just like fall into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had to come from a different path, or I have to kind of get to the melodies a different way. And so, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe other than that I just had to like kind of hack a different path through the forest to get to that, you know, maybe there is a little bit like, you know, there's some, I don't know what the word is for it. Cause like, as much as like some of the songs have like Jitterbug or Scattershot or Feeling Swell have a lot more kind of like jazzier undertones or rhythms, bass lines, some of the melodies that I'm trying to stick over top of them, you know, if anything, they're trying to stay out of the way of the music, right?
And right.
I think that became a real thing that I had to try to learn to do in the context of this music is that, like, you know, there's all this really busy rhythmic stuff happening and all these, you know, a lot of harmonic density and a lot of rhythmic density. And I found that if I sung busily or if I sung something that was not too direct of a melody, but too purposeful of a melody, that it would okay. just kind of, it just, the whole thing would just collapse on itself a little bit. So I had to almost try to use my voice a bit more like a texture or like a, you know, think of the, you know, as a, my voice sometimes as a harmony with the saxophone or a heart, you know, something that would, you know, riff off of what the bass is doing.
And yeah.
So it just took a different path than I'd ever gone before, which made it fun.
Yeah. And obviously I think it paid off trying to do that because it works for sure. With this record, is this, now that you have this out, now that this kind of new sound that you've experimented with has been unveiled, is this sort of the direction you're hoping to go going forward with Touching, or is that sort of depending on how you're feeling?
It's a whole new world, man. I could, the next record could be, Nine Inch Nails,
right on.
You know, mechanical, I don't know. I think if anything, it's been freeing to just let me like make what I want to make and, you know, the rest be damned. And so I think, you know, if anything, the pendulum might start swinging broader and broader in different directions. You know, I don't have a bunch of industry stuff behind me at this point. I don't have any, you know, there's, you know, I got a bunch of fans peppered around, you know, that I get to mail records to, which is amazing, but it's not like, you know, I'm not selling out 500 seats in different rooms across the continent. So it's, I can kind of just do what I want. And so I'm going to just lean into that. And this might be the only one like this, or there might be, maybe there's a run of them. I don't know. I make no promises.
Well, maybe a better way to approach that question then is the experience of doing this, of kind of just being, like having that kind of honest way of just expressing yourself the way that seems like the way to express yourself rather than sort of doing it to fit a mold. Is that going to be sort of more of the thing going forward? Is it that kind of freedom?
Yeah, I think 100%. You know, and it's not like, you know, the earlier Touching stuff is, you know, just like trying to be a.
Oh, sure, form. Sure.
But it was definitely like of a style, and there was like this kind of, this challenge to myself to like write a really good you know, pop song or indie rock song or like something that was just, you know, make a good song, you know? And, you know, and now, I don't know, it's kind of 180, and I just want to be able to just make something, and if it's going to be, you know, distorted flute for 2 minutes, then let's have some distorted flute for 2 minutes, you know? It's all good. So, I think, if anything, I feel like the doors are pretty wide open at this point, and I'm glad about that. It's been kind of liberating.
Yeah, it's a good place to be, too. I imagine that the place you are in life, too, probably helps with that, too, right? You're not, I mean, like you said, you're not 25. You're not going around on the road all the time and playing these playing at bars every night and everything like that. So that's got to make it sort of easier to be able to have that longer, leeway to experiment.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, my expectations for myself are different, and what I want to get out of it is different. You know, I'm at a point where I just want to make some art that I'm proud of, and if I can find some people that like it, great. And, and that's good. So.
Yeah, that's a good place to be in, I think. on the back of the CD, I have it right here. I'm looking at it. There's a Head in the Sand logo. Is Head in the Sand back? I mean, this, because this is your label. No. You mentioned off the top, you know, you ran a label for a while, and it seems like this is the first release in quite some time.
Head in the Sand is an absentee landlord. Head in the Sand, it's not really a label anymore. No, it's, I basically, you know, 2018, 2019, like I think the Dave Quanbury record is probably the last thing that we put out as a, you know, we're with another artist. And I think at that point, you know, I could just feel my energy for it was gone. The industry was shifting so much. I didn't have the energy or the capital to be able to figure out how to kind of pivot the company at that point. And I just kind of lost interest to some extent. And so, I mean, Head of the Sand at this point is just a name and a logo, and it is something to put on it, give it something, but it's not, you know, it's not
a going concern.
The company is still registered, but it's a company I use for, I do a lot of grant writing for, we had a bunch of grant writing clients, and I do some consulting work. And so it's basically a consultant and grant writing company at this point, and that still has a bit of a distribution deal, right? So I think, you know, I still have some of the infrastructure in place from when we were pretty active. So, but yeah, it is an absentee landlord.
Yeah, I like the description. Thanks. I guess it helps too that there are a lot of people who, you know, are familiar with previous releases on the label. They know the name, they know the logo, it's familiar to them. That's got to help as well. Just the recognition factor.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that, you know, Head of the Sand had a good run for a number of years there, where we put out a couple records each year by, you know, some really great Winnipeg artists and some artists from beyond, you know, from you know, across North America, and even Icelandic band. And and you know, and I think, you know, there's maybe a 5 or 6 year window there where we, you know, punched above our weight a little bit, and people paid a little bit of attention, and I think, you know, I think once the Jazz Winnipeg stuff started happening, then it just, you know, that was kind of the beginning of the end of that. And
yeah,
so yeah,
what is this current iteration of Touching look like in a live setting? Is that in the cards? Like, I mean, just because you have so many people you've collaborated with, obviously you could rearrange the songs and make it, you know, doable in a different context. But is this something that you are planning to perform?
It's a good question. And I will fully admit that I go back and forth on this a whole heck of a lot. You know, up until this record, I haven't really had any interest in performing. I just, you know, wanted to write the songs, and, you know, I just didn't want to do it. And last summer I went and started a new block party that we threw in Brandon called Hatch. And that was the first time Touching had played. And we played played 4 or 5 of these songs off this record.
Oh, cool.
At that time. So I put together a band that can, you know, that can pull these off. And so, Ben Rammer was playing drums, Alistair was playing bass, Sean Irvine from the record was playing sax and flute, and Andrew Braun was also on the record, was playing guitar and keyboard. So, really killer band, and they nailed it. I think we did a pretty good job, and I think we all would like to do it again. And I think we're just kind of, there's not a lot of urgency, and I think we'll play this show. I just don't know what it'll be yet. I think we want it to be the right thing where we can, you know, feel good about the room and where we're at and have a good time. But I will fully admit that it's, you know, kind of like a old man in music scene land now, and that it's a different, you know, it's a different thing. And
The luxury of that is that you can choose sort of the right setting, the right context for these to be presented, because in the old man music scene, that's allowed, right? I mean, you know, you don't have to be playing every night. You can pick your spots and make sure it's going to be the best way to have this stuff heard by the people who you want to hear it.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, we'll I'm sure that something will work out this summer. So we'll see what that is yet. But yeah.
Cool. And so how can people hear this? I mean, it's out now officially in all the various platforms. Where would you send someone to find out more information about, you know, whether they want to get a physical copy, whether they want to stream it, all that stuff? What's the best source for all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Bandcamp is great. It's on, you know, at our website is wearetouching.com. And it's on, you can order the digital album or CDs on the website. And then it's on all the digital platforms like Spotify and Apple Music and Deezer and SoundCloud and all that stuff. So anywhere you go to find music, you should be able to find it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And is this just on CD or is there an LP version as well?
There is no LP at this time. I think it was just we're doing a couple of radio campaigns, you know, the one that you got from Orange Grove.
Yeah,
And so we, you know, we made CDs for those campaigns and have a few left over. So, but yeah, I think it just felt like if we'll do vinyl, if there's a tour, we'll do vinyl.
But
if, there's no tour, then yeah. Laying out $5,000 for a bunch of records to sit in your basement and you know.
definitely.
Yeah.
It was cool that Orange Grove said this to me too, because I mean I get all kinds of jazz records from them, and this was almost a surprise, because I mean it was like, oh, Touching. Why is this? But it fits. It makes total sense that this is kind of an experimental jazz thing. And a lot of the albums I've got from them are traditional jazz, but a lot of it's kind of more weird too.
Yeah, I mean, like Ernesto, he's a great dude and he's got broad tastes, and he, you know, and I've been working with a number of jazz artists behind the scenes for a number of years now, like Jocelyn Gould and John Gordon, and you know, and so I've sent a bunch of clients his way, and I've always thought that he did good work for them, but that he was actually getting like real radio play and real reviews, and it was making it was helping make a dent for artists. And so yeah, when I was, you know, thinking about this record, and I, you know, I thought that there was enough kind of jazz adjacent stuff on it that maybe it was worth a shot to do a campaign with them, because it's, you know, like there's the traditional jazz stations aren't gonna give it the time of day, right? It's way too weird for that. But I think that there's a whole bunch of, you know, my time at Jazz Winnipeg, what I really loved almost more than anything was that there's this community of music fans out there that are so open-minded and so positive and so like embracing of such diverse and like artistically broad stuff. And, you know, and so I'd go out to Winter Jazz in New York, and, you know, the agents that I'd be working with that were rapping different kinds of artists. And, you know, I think about Chris Weller and the little scene he's got in Chicago, and it's not so little actually, you know, he reps Mekhi McRaven and Mad Plus and stuff like that. And all these people were just like, you know, I'd worked in the music industry for a long time, and I was finding, and I was meeting a bunch of people who were like my favorite people. Like these were people that I really loved working with, that I had a lot of respect for. I think about like Rainbow Robert, used to run the Vancouver Jazz Festival, and Andrew Jackson in Halifax, and Moran at Jazz Montreal and Montreal Jazz Fest. And like the people that I got to work with those years were phenomenal. And I think that, you know, and they all had such broad tastes. You know, we could talk about hip hop, and we could talk about ambient stuff, and we could talk about traditional jazz, and we could talk about new stuff, and we could talk about old stuff. And that is, and it just felt like they were really all really broad music lovers. And so I found that, you know, that's kind of what this record is. It's a, you know, it's a record for people that don't mind going deep and broad. And so it just felt like Orange Grove was the right crew to help bring those to people.
RCMP pushes through another line. Guns are drawn, see their smile. Happy to finally fight at last. 100 years holding back. What they want isn't you, it's your hope. They cover it up with the PR glow. Well, government pretends that they don't know there's a mother in the snow. Unbelievable, my God. Hypocrisy of empty laws. Chains of a clerk in a government job. Guns are getting cold. Not here for you, not here for me, not here for anything that peace could be. Only thing they want to protect, you see, it's the oil and the property.
I did this interview a couple weeks ago, this guy in Mexico City. Like, we did a 45-minute interview where he wanted to talk through every song on the record and, like, go deep into everything. And he was just, like, obsessed with it. And it was, like, the whole record was blowing his mind. And it was just the most beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've done, you know, indie rock campaigns for years with Leship and Touching and one of the other bands, the records that we put out. And And I never had anyone kind of connect so deeply with the music and so passionately and just be like so fired up to want to just talk through everything. And that's awesome. I wouldn't have made that connection without, you know, without Orange Grove. And it was cool. Like, that's the kind of people I'm excited to get to meet. So
yeah, that's who you want to hear your record. Someone who's gonna take it in that deeply for sure. The good thing about this being a podcast is, you know, someone could hear it the day it comes out, at which case the record's still very new, or they could hear it a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever. What's the best way to sort of follow up on what you're doing as touching on social media or elsewhere? You know, because maybe you have something new by the time someone hears this, if they hear it well after the fact.
If you good listeners are in the year 2040 and just discovering this, then let's talk.
I'll probably still be doing this podcast by then. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I'm on all the social media channels, and the handle is We Are Touching, kind of across the board. But I think if you're keen and you really dig what I'm doing and want to go along for the ride, then there's an email newsletter. Thousand people on it, and I send out, you know, I send out stories from the making of the record. I send out, you know, I give the list new music before anyone else gets it, and you know, try to, you know, you don't get a ton of emails, but I try to make sure the ones you get are, you know, have some good meat on them, and give you a little, you know, a bit of a deeper window into, you know, what makes me tick as an artist. And so you can sign up for the newsletter on the website. So that's the, you know, I'd say if you really dig what I'm doing, that's the best place to be. But the social media channels are all great. You know, there's little videos and little snippets and all kinds of stuff that we post. It's modern age, man. We're everywhere and nowhere all at once.
Mercy, don't hurt me, just trying to be real. The finder's fee's wasted, the money's a scream. Your activist babies don't understand me. Hurt, but I'm worth it, wasted and free. And there's a moment, it's honest this time. We chase the summer, same things light. All those feelings did strange things to the eyes. Not that you could see. It's so hard to change a lie. Building up your bad defenses and just stare into the night. No one wants to be that guy. Breaking bodies, bouncing babies, piling bones up to the sky.